into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. Every Friday at 1:30, we look ahead to the biggest games of the weekend and we tell you what to watch and why and what to avoid, because we're good like that, and hopefully how to navigate the weekend's betting markets. Joining us is this week's stat man, odds compiler from Paddy Power, Emmett O'Keefe. Emmett, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Too bad. You're looking forward to taking advantage of some of the easing of restrictions in Ireland at the moment.
Yeah, who knows where it's going to lead us, and hopefully they're all in the rearview mirror. I don't know. Yeah. Let's not get too carried away. But the sun is shining, and so therefore we can all have some hope in our hearts. Enda, how are you?
Jer, how's it going? Yeah. I'm not in my YouTube lair.
No, you're back in the real world.
First time I've been out of that YouTube lair in about 7 months, so... The sun was nice to feel the sun on my skin again and see what it's like to, you know, see other people in the world.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome, and hopefully you'll pick some winners for us this week. I don't know, I was obviously away last week. Has it been a while since you picked some winners, or what's your form like at the moment?
I actually haven't had anybody holding me to account for it, so you know, I don't know if I've had any winners or not. Can't really remember it. But.
Right, our new segment Near Miss is now officially up and running, and it's off to an incredible start. It's aimed at allowing some of you to reclaim a losing bet stake. In previous weeks, we've given away €11,000 to one person, €2,500 to another person, and last week, one lucky punter won €1,400. It's called Near Miss because if you nearly win a Premier League bet, if you have a single bet or an accumulator with Paddy Power and it's fallen down because of a dodgy VAR decision or Timo Werner shanks wide an open goal from 2 yards, then tell us about it and our equivalent of the Dodgy Goals Commission will sit in judgment. It's all about the Premier League, so any losing bet that almost made it, for whatever reason, if you're feeling sore about, are legitimate entries. Every week our team will select a bunch of winners. Most will get your stake refunded back into your account, but for some lucky punters, we will actually pay out losing bets as winners when we feel they have deserved it. So to enter, just after your bet doesn't come off, take a screen grab of the losing bet. Make sure to include your bet slip ID so we can check on it. Send them in to us using the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter. You can slide into our DMs on Instagram. You can send us your screen grab by WhatsApp to 0879 180 180 and we will do the rest. Every Friday at the end of the Paddy Power Half Hour, we will announce our winners and you can see all the T's and C's on otbsports.com and stay tuned to OTB Social for more details and reminders. So let me run you through the fixtures this week. It's not a bad slate of fixtures, particularly given that the FA Cup semi-finals are on. So tonight it is Everton against Spurs. Getting a little bit tricky for Spurs at the moment. And Newcastle against West Ham tomorrow at 12:30. Wolves versus Sheffield United at 8:15. The FA Cup, though, the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon is Chelsea versus Manchester City. On Sunday in the Premier League, 1:30 Arsenal against Fulham. At 4:00 it's Manchester United against Burnley. Leicester versus Southampton in the FA Cup at 6:30 on Sunday evening. And then Monday, Leeds versus Liverpool at 8:00. And Tuesday it is Chelsea against Brighton. So the games are coming thick and fast for Chelsea at the moment. Our specials, Enda, you've been salivating all year waiting for this one to come up. What is it?
I have indeed. We had one that Leicester to finish ahead of Liverpool, which is actually still looking fairly likely, but this one is an interesting one because Leicester not to finish in the top four, so that would be Leicester to have a fall off similar enough to what they had last year and not finish in the top four. And
why are you so happy about this one, Enda? What is it that gives you glee when you're talking about the Leicester failure?
It's almost as if I've been getting abuse on a certain show about a certain manager who happens to be in charge of Leicester and talking about how good he is and how well-minded he is. But he does have a habit of bottling the end of the season. And, you know, Leicester don't have an easy run into the end of the season. Their final three fixtures, Man United, Chelsea and Tottenham. Remember, it was last year that they finished just outside of the top four because of that last day finish. And, you know, there's always potential for that to happen. So I think Leicester to finish outside of the top four would not be a bad enough bet at this point in time.
So let's just recap though. You did earlier on advocate people backing Leicester to finish ahead of Liverpool, and now, mm-hmm. like the rat that you are, you're jumping off that sinking ship and you're scuttling towards something else. Is that an accurate portrayal of you on your little flappy legs trying to get off the...
I'd say so, but I don't think Liverpool are going to finish the top four anyway. So it really just, it'll depend on West Ham's form, depend on Chelsea's form as well. So I think there's a high chance this could actually happen. So that's one of the bets. Burnley to score a header against United is another one of the bets that I'm going for this week. And obviously that goes without saying, Burnley, some really good players in the box. Man United, not so much. Victor Lindelof wouldn't be the strongest. And then Leeds to have more shots in the game than Liverpool, but to lose or to not win. And this actually comes sort of like...
Very specific, Enda. You're not giving yourself a whole heap of room there, but go on.
It's inspired by their win last week against Man City. They had one shot in total and scored two goals. Or one shot on goal in total and scored two goals. So I think they'll have more shots this week, and I do think they will lose. So that's the three bets. Emmett, how are they coming out?
Yeah, so Leicester not to finish in the top four is 4-5 on side at the moment. We boosted that to 6-5 in the off-the-ball specials. It's kind of echoes of kind of previous Rodgers issues as kind of came up with him giving kind of a very self-aggrandizing interview to the Athletic last week, which he has wont to do. Then Leeds to have most shots on target, but failed to win against Liverpool is 5-1. Leeds are actually fifth in the league in shots, so I think you can kind of as Enda said, we can expect them at least to have more shots than last week. And then Burnley to score a header v Man United will be 7-1. So you're hoping that Burnley can exploit. I mean, the issues United have had at set pieces with Chris Wood, James Tarkowski, etc.
I think that there's a fairly well-worn path of Man United games this season where a team like Burnley might score early against them and Manchester United will win the game. So I don't know if there's something in that. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later on when we're actually previewing that match. A reminder, of course, our Premier League commentary games on Sunday afternoon, Arsenal versus Fulham, the 1:30 kickoff with Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr on duty for that one. And then at 4:00, it's Manchester United versus Burnley. Nathan Murphy and Vinnie Perth are on duty at 4:00. So, Enda, where do we want to start here?
Right, well, we may as well start with tonight's game, 8:00 again. It's Everton against Spurs. And I think most people are actually favouring Everton in this game. That
59.
Would probably reflect
59%.
That would reflect the games of the recent memory for Tottenham, especially the game last week against United, where United just, even without that goal being disallowed, still looked extremely comfortable against the Spurs side. Everton will be without Dominic Calvert-Lewin up front. He has been scoring a lot of goals, but Carlo Ancelotti has only realised now that Everton have a lot of flaky players who might not be as consistent and as clinical as he'd like. And I don't know how it's taken them to April this year to figure that out, but Everton are notoriously the most flaky side in the league outside of Spurs. Tottenham, on the other hand, again, you're looking at this and they've got, maybe have one eye on the Carabao Cup coming up in a few weeks' time. Will the top four actually mean anything to them if they win that trophy? Jose always measured himself on trophies. So I think if you're looking at Tottenham and looking at Tottenham's season and judging them, it does take away the fact that the cliche of he has to win a trophy is absolutely meaningless. Because if Spurs win the Carabao Cup but don't get top four, is anybody of the opinion that Tottenham have actually improved this year?
Well, let's say they win the trophy and don't get into the Champions League and Harry Kane leaves. Then the answer is that they have clearly regressed because they've lost their best player, and that's what's going to be very interesting. Emma, what's your take on whether or not Mourinho is going to be there at the start of next season?
I am quite sceptical of it. I think the last couple of weeks have been a real kind of microcosm of their season in terms of kind of starting well, leading at half time, but then just sitting back and hoping to hit teams in the counter attack. But if that doesn't work, then ending up losing the lead. So in terms of the statistics, if Premier League matches finish at half time, Tottenham would be second in the league behind Manchester City. But in terms of the second half table, Spurs are 11th in the league, and as well. It's one of these cases where you can kind of the statistics are matches what you're seeing with your eyes. And I think Spurs to me are giving off distress signals that the players are stopped playing for Mourinho. And I couldn't back them at close to even money, which is their price at the moment.
Okay, what price are Everton?
So Everton are 5-2. If you're backing Everton, I would back them draw no bet at about 6-4. So the draw no bet means if the game is a draw, you get your money back. The reason being, I don't know if anyone had the displeasure of seeing the Everton v Brighton last Monday, but Everton will struggle for goals without Calvert-Lewin. But if so, I think there's a high risk of a draw. But I think Spurs price definitely looks too short as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Spurs evens to win a game away from home at the moment. No, thank you. Not with anybody else's money. Right, Newcastle against West Ham, 12:30 on Saturday. Newcastle 18%, West Ham 82%. Now, I've been down and out on Newcastle all season long, but I hadn't quite factored in just how good Sam Maximum was going to be and what the impact he was going to have. And if you look back traditionally over the years, all of the crap teams who have just about survived in the Premier League by the skin of their teeth have had a superstar who came into season like a good mare at just the right time of the year. And Alan Saint-Maximin is absolutely sensational, and no doubt, I hope, will be playing football for a good team next season, and that won't be Newcastle. But I would be concerned if I was a West Ham fan. This is one of those games where the level of expectation is so high. We expect them to win. It's against a side who will be able to sit deep and kind of frustrate them and be absolutely thrilled with a nil-all draw. So I don't see this as a gimme for the teams the way it should be if the league table was a reflection of both sides. And it is a reflection of both sides, but I'm just not sure that West Ham have reached that point where routine wins are routine wins. What are the odds telling us?
Yeah, so Newcastle are 13-5, the draw, well, 12-5, and West Ham are evens. Yeah, I'd echo your sentiments there. It was great to see Saint-Maximin play so well, especially, I think, he suffered more than any other, I think most players in the league. He had long COVID during the season, which would give him an extended absence. I think him at his best with Callum Wilson. Newcastle are certainly a much different team. Just worth kind of noting with Jesse Lingard, I think everyone knows he's on a kind of a bit of a hot streak with his finishing, but his expected goals are similar to that of Raheem Sterling and Diogo Jota. So Lingard is getting the chances of a similar level of a top level forward, but it's his teammate, I think, works worth a bet in the goal scorer markets. Jarrod Bowen should operate again as West Ham central striker and scored last week. Bowen's hugely prolific at championship level and already has 8 goals in the league this season, and he can back him to score it over 2-1 here.
Okay, so you, it sounds like, expect West Ham to squeak through this.
I think probably possibly a high scoring game, that's been the kind of the trend for West Ham. Bruce actually played more positively, and I think probably will do so again with having Saint-Maximin and Wilson back in tow.
Alright, Chelsea versus Man City next, Ender.
Yeah, so there's obviously the FA Cup semi-final, and Man City are going into this as favourites, and I think that's fair enough given their form and, you know, given Chelsea's form of late. I actually had an argument with a guy on Twitter about Chelsea, because he was arguing the fact that, you know, have Chelsea really improved under Tuchel? But of course they have. They've only lost 2 games. One of them came in the Champions League during the week when they were already through, essentially, and the other one came against West Brom on the hop. So this one is a real test of where Chelsea are at and how far they're really coming. And I think, again, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit, but if Tuchel can win a trophy this year, that is when you're seeing signs of progression, when the team are fighting for the top four again. You know, they might win an FA Cup, and, you know, Champions League is still on the cards for them. So it's a fantastic turnaround for this team, but it does lead the question, though. Man City are going for the quadruple here. If Chelsea had their house in order and didn't go for a manager who, you know, knew the club, and they appointed a Tuchel, they could be the ones going for the quadruple here with this squad, because they're good enough to do it. And I do think, you know, this is going to be a tighter fixture, and will Man City have one eye on that Champions League? That's the one they want to win. So they've already won countless FA Cups. I think Chelsea might actually scrape this one.
I think Lampard did an okay job in his first season when they had no transfers. Like, I think we can't ignore the fact that Lampard deserved the opportunity to bring this team into this season, and he failed, and that's fair enough. But I don't think that we can rewrite history that that first season was bad from him, because it clearly wasn't. Now, what impact that has on this game? Nothing. Chelsea versus Man City, 5:30 on Saturday evening. What are the prices for this, Emmett?
Yeah, so Chelsea are 7-2, the draw 12-5, and Man City are 4-5. Yeah, like I fear a cagey affair, unfortunately, between kind of two obsessive managers trying to outthink the other. I think that's reflected in the odds, with under 2.5 goals being odds on at 8-11. As Enda said, I think it'll be a very telling match in terms of looking forward to the Champions League semi-finals. For Chelsea, can they break down a top-class defence? I think the imprints of Tuchel can be seen in the defence, where if you look at the centre halves he's used, the likes of Christensen, Rudiger, you wouldn't say that's necessarily a world-class defence, but through his kind of pressing and team structure, their defensive record's outstanding. But I think if they can break down City, I think it'll be very positive going to the Real Madrid game. And for City, I think the player to watch is Raheem Sterling. He was left out of both Dortmund legs, and my suspicion is that City might need him to get past a high scoring PSG team. I think with kind of a big performance against Chelsea, he might be able to force his way in for the semi-final.
What about all those famous games where the ball falls to Raheem Sterling in a quarterfinal second leg, he's 3 yards out, he must score. Oh wait, he's hit the bar, he's hit the upright, he's hit the arse of the goalkeeper, he's shanked it wide. Like, what a brilliant player he is. Absolutely, genuinely class. But all those big games and all those big misses, if you're going to have a row with the manager, you need to have banked some of them in.
The only issue is that the alternative is Gabriel Jesus, who I think is even worse in that regard. And I think Sterling on the counter-attack, if you'd Sterling and Foden on either side, I think they could really expose PSG's fullbacks, which would be a weakness to their team.
Okay, what do you expect to happen in this game? I mean, I think that's a big enough price about Chelsea for a one-off semi-final where both sides are going to be a little bit exhausted after what happened in the middle of the week. Man City, I think, have got this weird psychological thing. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond to the fact that they've got through the quarter-final. Mythical barrier that they get a special prize for reaching the semis.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as well. I would lean Chelsea as well, but I think it's a very hard game to call. I was also interesting thing to watch was that Pep left out Yeah, Cancelo there during the week as well, who'd probably be, I think, nearly the best fullback in the league this season. And he just seems to be, I think possibly overthinking things a little bit. Because if you look at the Dortmund team they got past in the quarterfinal, aren't even close to qualifying for the top four in the Bundesliga. They're a talented team, but they're not a very good team. And I think Guardiola definitely showed them far too much respect.
We were having that debate in the office a little bit earlier.
I mean, City got through that quarterfinal by two referee indecisions in two games. So, and the fact
I don't
that
think
Emre
the Dortmund
Can
team are as bad as they are in the league. They got rid of the manager who started the season really badly, and they've become a much better side, and they have Erling Haaland, and they have a bunch of kids who are playing really well, and they've got some experience in the team. But okay, we don't need to relitigate that. Let's go on. Go on, have you one last thing to say about that?
No, go ahead.
Wolves versus Sheffield United.
Yeah.
8:15 kickoff.
I mean, is anybody really going to spend their Saturday night watching this game, in fairness? It's 8:15 on Saturday. Wolves against Sheffield United.
What else is anybody going to be doing this Saturday night, Enda?
They're already gone from the league.
Are they going to be out gathering in groups of more than two from two different houses in back gardens? They better not be.
Do you know how bad this game is, Jer? So we obviously do our Instagram polls every single week, and I publish the results every morning. So I went on the show on the Instagram today to post the results, and I went through all the different games, and every game except for one had votes on it, and it was this one. People didn't even care enough to click Wolves or Sheffield United on the Instagram post.
I think you didn't
that's
put
why
the poll
we don't
up
have
properly.
Results.
I think that's your excuse, Enda.
Nobody voted
your
it. Fat nobody wants to win it. Nobody
to
wants to watch it. It's going to finish Wolves 1-0 and we can all move on with our lives. Emmett, I mean, what's the
keypad
odds
for dialing wand?
Yeah, the prices here are Wolves 13-20, the draw 5-2, and Sheffield United 5-1. Yeah, I think this game is obviously a terrible game, and it's made even less appealing by the fact that Wolves probably most watchable players in Pedro Neto and Ruben Neves are both absent. In terms of recommendation, if you're looking for something to watch on Saturday night, I see the Tom Cruise movie Collateral's back on Netflix. I highly recommend that. It's one of the most entertaining movies the last 20 years.
Okay, the Paddy Power half hour, seasoning in a little bit of Tom Cruise love as well. Just a personality test coming through in the post any time now. Arsenal versus Fulham, it's 1:30 on Sunday. It is 77%. The Arsenal revolution is back. Get on board, Mikel Arteta. He the man. All of a sudden, it's been a week of good results and everybody believes in them again. I'm not sure I believe in them again. I still think they're flaky Arsenal, and these games, I mean, maybe Fulham are just on the verge of throwing in the towel, but I don't think they've thrown the towel in just yet. And again, I am never back in Arsenal until they've won like 15 games in a row, and I'm like, okay, I accept you have restored some credibility and faith in the storied marble halls as they used to be. I presume Arsenal are favourites for this game.
Yeah, so Arsenal are 8-11, the draw 13-5, and Fulham 15-4. they had, I think, the last night against Slavia Prague followed the kind of the script of Arsenal season, where if Saka and Smith Rowe play, they're genuinely a very potent attack, and both are outstanding in the first half an hour when Arsenal blew Slavia away. The Sky Sports had some good statistics on like Monday Night Football last week, showing when Smith Rowe and Saka played in the league this year, Arsenal won 7 out of 10 games, scoring 2.2 goals a game, which is very good Champions League form. And without them, I think they've averaged like, I think it's 19 goals in 20 matches, and averaging about a point a game, which is borderline relegation form. So I'd be tempted to back Arsenal here, but I definitely wait for teams, especially with Tierney and Odegaard possibly out as well. I think if you're far less confident if we see a kind of an Arsenal forward line with Willian and Aubameyang together.
I mean, you would be very confident about the future if you're an Arsenal fan and they can make sure that those two get to stay there forever. Like, those are incredible stats.
Yeah, it was concerning, though. There was a story a couple of weeks ago in one of the newspapers that if Arsenal don't win the Europa League, that Arteta might be forced to raise funds by selling Saka. So I think all Arsenal fans would I think lose their minds if that happened. But I think it's kind of a big few weeks for Arteta, because if he can somehow get over the line, the Europa League, I think that might give him the credibility with the club to try and sell some of the get rid of some of the older players, and maybe have a bit more room for work in the transfer market this summer as well.
Qualifying for the Champions League would transform Arsenal's fortunes next season. Manchester United against Burnley at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Both those games, of course, live and off the ball on News Talk on Sunday. 90% think Manchester United are going to get the win here. Only 10% back in Sean Dyche.
You know, eagle-eye viewers watching the Europa League during the week would have seen that the red banners around Old Trafford have been turned into black banners, because, you know, it was so very hard for the players to distinguish a banner in the stadium stand to a football player on the pitch. One thing that I found interesting about that was, you know, the United players, the United fans, they all wear red when they're in the stadium, so, and the seats are all red. So I don't understand what the logic was behind that, other than to take away a little bit of distraction from maybe the fact that United, you know, they didn't play their best stuff at home, and their away record is so much better. But their home record isn't even that much better than their away record. They've played 15, won 8, and they've lost none. At home, or away rather, they've played 16, won 10. So they've only won 2 extra games away from home than they have won at home. So it's not even that much of a difference, to be fair.
That story was a cover. They had draped those in memory of Prince Philip, of course, the royalist faction at Manchester United. Didn't want the story to leak out that they are, in fact, you know, they wouldn't go down that well in the city of Manchester. So that's what that was.
Oh, okay.
That smokescreen story that Solskjaer put out that embarrassed him was just to protect the Masonic.
Well, as we know, Prince Philip had a lot to do with the success of Manchester United over the last couple of years. So, you know, is it warranted? Maybe it is. Anyway, back to this game, Burnley against Manchester United. I do think Burnley have a chance, like you said, to score in this game, maybe early. And I do think if you're looking for a little interest bet in this, it might be big enough odds, a little euro here on Vidra to score first or score any time. He's been in decent enough form, and he's actually showing to me that he exists, because I didn't believe that he actually played for Burnley over the last couple of years, but he's playing a little bit better. I do think he has a chance against this United defence, especially Lindelof. So yeah, Burnley to score a header or Burnley to score any time, I think that would be a good bet in this.
Did we get the prices?
Yes, the price here, Man United 3-10, the draw 4-1, and Burnley 8-1. As Enda said, if you're backing United here, it's, I think, back them to win and both teams to score just over 2-1 makes far more appeal than backing them at short prices. Just quickly mention how much kind of Luke Shaw has improved this year. I think it was borne out by the numbers. I think it's a real, his improvement is, I think, partly a tribute to competition for places, with Alex Tellez kind of giving him somewhat of a kind of a threat for his place. Shaw's averaging 2 key passes a game, which is more than any other fullback in the league, more than Gio Cancela, more than Trent Alexander-Arnold. And last year, Shaw was averaging somehow only 0.4 crosses per game, and that's been multiplied by 4 this year. He's averaging 1.7 crosses per game. And I think if anyone who watched him against Tottenham last week, some of his long passing was Paul Scholes-esque, I would say.
Pogba's given an interview, given out about Mourinho and how players will be like flavour of the month and then sidelined from training session to training session. And Shaw was obviously the one who suffered the most under Mourinho, and it is the biggest indictment of his time at Manchester United how well Luke Shaw is playing now. I think the rest of the world thought that Luke Shaw was no good because Mourinho kept telling us and him that he was no good. And funnily enough, Yeah, that didn't work. Obviously, not a fan of the Mullinoy Gogus Chucky Shee when it comes to players. So, next game for us here is the FA Cup semi-final between Leicester and Southampton. This one kicks off at 6:30, as I said, on Sunday evening. 82% Foxes, 18% Saints. That's what our Instagram poll believes. And you hate Brendan Rodgers, right? And this is the bit where
hate's a very strong.
This is the bit where he's like that ex who's gone on to great things and left you in the dust, essentially.
Yeah, but hate is a very strong word. I'm more loathe him than anything else, and I think it's down to just his style of management in terms of the way he talks about himself. Like it's essentially about him. Like this is what it's all about. It's about his brand, it's about him. There were some great stories coming out during the week about Brendan Rodgers after his interview. Did you hear the one about John Terry and the poem?
No.
So before, before a final, I'm going to butcher the story a little bit. He got his friend who was a poet to write John Terry a poem about how good he is and about to try get his form back up. This was during his time at Chelsea. So if there's one person in this world that you think is not going to appreciate a poem, it has to be John Terry.
Well,
this is the type of shit that annoys me about Brendan Rodgers.
I'm sure it was a limerick that rhymed at the end of every John Terry's like, that is amazing. Who knew you could rhyme so many words with Terry?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that it makes much of a difference with this. But one question that we were talking about in the office before this was, you know, if you're Leicester City and your form's dipping in the league, you've got a couple of players out injured, you've got a tough last three finishes, you dropped out of the top four in the last day of the season last year, but you're in an FA Cup semi-final. Do you go for the FA Cup? Or do you favour your league form here, Joe?
It's actually a genuinely good question if you're a Leicester City fan, because they have had Champions League action just recently, right? And the team is coming, and I suspect they're going to be able to keep most of their players. One player will probably have to go, and that seems to be Chilwell went, and they managed to spend that money really well. And you would expect maybe one player has to go, but maybe not with the injuries at the end of the season to those players who might have been most likely to be plucked off by the bigger clubs. So is there a chance you can win the FA Cup, keep all your players and start next season back again going, actually, we have a genuine opportunity here because there's more depth and we've kept the money? Or do you lose the FA Cup and qualify for the Champions League, keep everybody, and that's better for the long-term future of the club?
It's a tough question. I think personally you go for top four, because I'm not sure how well Brendan Rodgers' brand can take another one of those hits in terms of being really strong and then falling off at the end of the season, because he did it with Liverpool, it held him back for years, he did it with Leicester last year. So if it happens to him again,
Steven Gerrard slipped, that cost him the league title. Yeah, you can't blame that on Rodgers.
Ask anybody, it was the Crystal Palace game.
The slip is the slip.
True, but
The Liverpool fans lie to themselves that it's the Crystal Palace game because it lets them sleep at night, but we all know it was Stevie G's slip, and if they'd managed somehow for that not to happen, we do not let this slip.
Of all people in the world that I'm going to defend here, Steven Gerrard is not someone that I currently want to defend. But that slip, was it as damaging as the being 3-0 up against Crystal Palace?
3-1
and drawing that game. I don't think it is.
No, but the 3-1 doesn't happen if the slip doesn't happen. There's like it's not you can't have one without the other. And the slip did happen, and that's the bit where all of their like they were unplugged, essentially, and that's not his fault.
But he got the blame. He will share the blame last year. And if they fall out of the top four again, he'll have.
Here's the thing: there's
a
good chance they don't win the cup, and also they don't finish in the top four. At that point, yeah, you can have your little lap of honour and happy days.
Supercut of all these discussions.
Did we do the odds on this one? I'm not sure we did. Did we?
Yes, so Leicester 70-20, the draw 13-5, and Southampton 14-5. I think it's a big few weeks for Brendan Rodgers, because I think if they could somehow if they could do the double of the FA Cup and finishing the top four, I think he'd be the best candidate for I think a likely opening at Tottenham, which I think he would take. Leicester should have Iosé Perez, Maddison, and Habs Chowdhury available after their house party was discovered last week. I think Southampton are slightly big, but I think the bet I'm more confident in is over 2.5 goals, just under even money. It's a bet that's won in 8 of Southampton's last 10 matches and 4 of Leicester's last 5. I think in a match with both teams playing 2 centre forwards, I'd be hopeful enough for a pretty exciting semi-final here.
All right, I hope you're right, because there's a possibility that they might both be terrified of the repercussions for losing, and it's a nil-all draw. Leeds against Liverpool at 8 o'clock on Monday night. Leeds obviously back to winning ways with their performance last weekend against Man City. 48% think Leeds are going to win, 52% think Liverpool are going to win. That will be the lowest, one of the lowest that we've ever had on these Instagram polls this season for Liverpool. I don't think Liverpool's season is over. I think that the quality of their performance and getting at it the way they got at it against Real Madrid, and the fact that so many of them will be on massive bonuses to qualify for the Champions League, plus the fact that so many of them want to play there next season and don't want to be the one that is replaced by whatever big money signings are coming in, that gives me comfort that they're going to go for this game and going to go for it over the course of the rest of the season and not fade away into 7th or 8th and not even Europa League. So I'm confident Liverpool are going to continue their excellent away form and actually win this game against the side that we know they can score against, but that also caused them huge amounts of problems way back when it seemed like a different world. What are the odds in this one?
Yeah, so Leeds 7-2, the draw 10-3, and Liverpool a short price of 8-13. Yeah, I would agree with you. I thought Leeds and Liverpool were close to their best against Real Madrid. They were just let down with the weak link in the chain that is Sadio Mane, who just doesn't look the player he once was, and would definitely benefit from an off season of rest. In terms of the game, I would fancy, I think Leeds are benefiting more than any team in the Premier League from not being involved in cup competitions or not playing midweek Premier League fixtures, given their style of play, and I'd be tempted to back them here. The only thing I'd like to see would be Rafinha in the starting team, as he's a doubt. Rafinha's fifth in the league in that key passes statistic behind Mason Mount, Bruno Fernandes, Kevin De Bruyne and Jack Grealish. I think he's probably been one of the best signings of the Premier League this year at around 20 million, and even more important to Leeds than Patrick Bamford in terms of leading their counter-attack. So I think wait till the teams are named here, but I'd be tempted by Leeds if Rafinha's in the starting lineup.
Okay, that's interesting. And loads of goals, like a 3-2, a 4-3, a 6-5.
Hopefully, yeah. I think that if we get anything close to what it was like at the start of the season, we'll be in for a treat.
All right, to round us out this week, Chelsea against Brighton. Endo, what's crack?
Yeah, Chelsea weirdly in cup and league action this weekend, and people think that Chelsea are going to run away with this against Brighton. I probably be of the similar opinion, but one of these games that, you know, you're probably cautioning people against betting on it too soon. Wait until probably you see the teams. Wait to see if there's any injuries in the Chelsea game. And maybe just don't watch it, because Chelsea haven't scored more than two goals under Tuchel so far. Brighton played
one. Not true. They scored 3 2 weeks ago.
Sorry. Once. They've done it once.
I thought that was actually a penny dropping for them, by the way. I thought the performance was excellent. Yep. Havertz is sensational. And remember, he had COVID at the start of the season too. So if only they had a striker who was world class, they could just bang him in from a few yards.
Well, then we're saying that about Brighton as well, because, I mean, enough has been said about Brighton on this show alone to say that Brighton have created a load of chances but haven't taken them. So, you know, like, Brighton are safe. They need to buy a striker for next season. So, you know, just get through the rest of the season. Don't lose too many games. I would advise not betting on this game until you see the actual teams.
Yeah, I agree with Ender here. The price here, Chelsea 4-7, the draw 3-1, and Brighton 9-2. I had the misfortune of watching all of the Brighton Everton game Monday night, and Brighton are nearly a bit sad to watch. I think their style of play, the pressing is all brilliant, but just they've such little threat up front, and you can see this being kind of a unconvincing Chelsea kind of 2-1 win with Brighton flattering to deceive again, I would say.
Yeah, Brighton could do, I think, with a few more points just to feel completely safe with the way that West Brom are rampaging at the moment. I mean, maybe the nil draw was enough actually to get them over the line last weekend. We will wait and see. That is this week's edition. Our near miss, we had one we're paying out 40 quid and the other one is 108 euros, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, just the 108 euro one, I think, was particularly unlucky with it was Willian. It was kind of a four leg single game multi, so that's a kind of an accumulator on one game basically, and it was let down by Willian Jose not having a shot on target. Anyone who saw the game might remember Jose Willian had a very, very marginal VAR goal overturned, so that would have been very unfortunate. So that's one of the kind of exactly the type of bet we're looking for this kind of near miss offer.
All right, good stuff. Matthew McConnell is one of our winners, and we have an unnamed winner at the other one, which I'm going to just check with the Jubies Goals Committee to make sure that it's not actually one of the Jubies Goals Committee themselves. But I'm reliably informed it isn't, because that would mean automatic disqualification, right? Make sure you get your near miss into us over the course of the weekend. We need a screen grab with the bet ID on it, and you can slide into our DMs on Twitter or on Use the hashtag PP near miss or 087 918 180. That screen grab will work for you as well. We'll see you next Friday afternoon with another Paddy Power Half Hour. Enjoy the weekend. Happy punting. Cheers.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.